5 UTC right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African men's football and the qualifying campaign for the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. Africa's November qualifying window is closing, and after Tuesday's matches are complete, 10 African teams will remain in contention. They'll be drawn into 5 home and away ties for the final round of qualifying in March 2022. And the winners of each tie, 5 African teams, will go to the World Cup. Now, so far, 6 African teams, Mali, Egypt, Ghana, Senegal, Morocco, and the Democratic Republic of Congo, are through to the 10-team playoff round in March. The 4 remaining places, that is, African World Cup qualifying groups A, B, C, and D, will be decided on Tuesday. Prince Nesta joins us now with a roundup of the weekend results in African World Cup qualifying. And Prince says in Group A, African champion Algeria is in good position to advance. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Western midfielder Said Benrahma, Lyon striker Islam Slimani, Youssef Belaili and Sofiane Feghouli all recorded their names in the score sheet as African champions Algeria extended their unbeaten run to 32 games after securing a 4-0 win against Djibouti in a CAF second round 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifier match played at the Cairo International Stadium. The Desert Foxes now top Group A, 2 points ahead of the Stallions of Burkina Faso, who were held to a 1-1 draw at home to the Minas of Niger. Algeria only need a draw against the Stallions of Burkina Faso in Blida on Tuesday to book their place in the third round of qualifying at Burkina Faso's expense. In Group B, Tunisia suffered a shock 1-0 loss to the National Thunder of Equatorial Guinea, thanks to a late goal from Pablo Garnett. Both teams are now tied at the top of the group with 10 points, but Tunisia will have a home ground advantage when they face Zambia on Tuesday, while Equatorial Guinea will be away in Mauritania. The Carthage Eagles stand a better chance of qualifying since they have a superior goal difference compared to that of Equatorial Guinea. Third place Chipolopolo of Zambia defeated Al Murabitoun of Mauritania 4-0, courtesy of goals from Leicester City marksman Patson Daka and a hat-trick from Rangers FC star Fashion Sakala in a match that was played at the National Hero Stadium in Lusaka. Moving on to Group C, 3-time African champions, the Super Eagles of Nigeria secured a 2-0 win over Liberia.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria, Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks to goals from Napoli forward Victor Osimhen and Ahmed Musa, a win that moves them closer to a 4th consecutive World Cup appearance. The Super Eagles, who now lead Group C with 12 points, are scheduled to square it off on Tuesday against the Blue Sharks of Cape Verde, who kept their hopes for qualifications alive by cruising to a 2-1 victory against the Central African Republic, thanks to goals from Julio Tavares and Yannick Stopira Tavares. Cape Verde, which is a tiny island nation with only 560,000 inhabitants, has never competed at the World Cup stage and will need to secure nothing but a win against Africa's most populous nation to progress. The Super Eagles, on the other hand, just needs a draw to proceed to the next level. In Group D, the Elephants of Ivory Coast and a 3-0 win over the Mambas of Mozambique in Cotonou, thanks to goals from Burnley forward Maxwell Cornet, Max Allen Gradel and Jean-Michel Seri, Andre Frank Zambo Anguissa, Vincent Abubakar and Christian Basagog, and Shua the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon secured a 4-0 win against Tenman Malawi in a match that was played in Soweto, South Africa. The Ivorians currently top the group with 1 point ahead of the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon, but will have to avoid defeat against their arch rivals in Yaoundé on Tuesday to keep alive their chances of advancing to the March World Cup qualifying playoffs. In Group E, Mali advanced to the 10-team World Cup qualifying round after beating the Uganda Cranes by a 2-0, thanks to a first-half strike from Nantes Benjamin Khalifa Koulibaly. Third place Harambee Stars of Kenya scheduled to square it off against the Wasps of Rwanda in their final Group E match at the Nyayo National Stadium on Monday. The Pharaohs of Egypt also under place in the 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifiers final round after securing a 2-2 draw against the Palancas Negras of Angola in Group F. Valencia winger Hilda Costa and Balanzola both scored for the Angolans, while Arsenal midfielder Mohamed Elneny and Akram Taufik sealed the draw for the Egyptians. Arsenal's keeper Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang's solitary goal also earned second place the Panthers of Gabon a 1-0 win over the Mediterranean Knights of Libya. The Black Stars of Ghana booked a place into the match playoff series after beating the Bafana Bafana of South Africa by a solitary goal, thanks to captain Andre Ayew's penalty in a match that was played at the Cape Coast Stadium. The Warriors of Zimbabwe and the Waliers of Ethiopia also wrapped up their 2022 World Cup qualifying Group G campaign with a 1-1 draw at the National Sports Stadium in Harare. In Group H, Watford winger Ismaïla Sarr scored twice to help the Lions of Teranga of Senegal earn a place in the 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifiers final round after beating Congo 2-0 in Dakar. Meanwhile, Liverpool fans are holding their breath over their speedster Sadio Mane's fitness after the Senegalese had an injury scare while playing for the Teranga Lions against Togo. The 29-year-old winger was withdrawn inside 30 minutes, with coach Aliou Cisse insisting the substitution was just quote-unquote a precautionary measure. Mane is also expected to miss the beginning of 2022 for Liverpool, as the Teranga Lions compete at the African Cup of Nations, which is scheduled to run from the 9th of January to February 6th. He has netted 8 goals for the Reds in 15 appearances so far. In other fixtures, third place Namibia will host Togo at the Orlando Stadium on Monday. The Atlas Lions of Morocco maintain their 100% record in Group I after easing to an impressive 3-0 win against Sudan, courtesy of 2 goals from Belgian-born Ryan Maye and Imran Louza. Guinea also played out to a barren draw against Guinea-Bissau in Conakry to finish third in the group. And finally, in Group J, the Leopards of the Democratic Republic of Congo booked a place in the World Cup qualifying round after earning a 2-0 win against Benin in Kinshasa, while both the Taifa Stars of Tanzania and the Barea of Madagascar failed to make progress in the qualifiers after settling to a 1-1 draw to finish third and fourth respectively in a match that was played at the Mahamasina Stadium in Madagascar. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. As Prince mentioned, in Group C, Nigeria moved closer to advancing with a 2-0 win over Liberia. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria, Fisayo Dairo.
It was an expected win for the Super Eagles. Of course, when it became obvious that the game against the Lone Star of Liberia will be played in a neutral venue in Tangier, Morocco, then of course you expected that the Super Eagles would get the 3 maximum points in that game and put themselves closer towards qualification for the final round of qualifiers. So it was as expected, two goals, one in each half from the penalty spot, and a 2-0 routine one for the Super Eagles. But without the fear of sounding like a broken record, I think once again, the fans did not like the quality of football they saw from the Super Eagles. I mean, with the caliber of talents available for head coach Gernot Rohr and the national team, Nigerians honestly feel that they should be getting better. They should be getting much more value for their hard-earned money when it comes to national team duties. But this has been a recurring decimal. This is becoming a trademark style of Gernot Rohr. The games are not quite exciting to watch, but he's getting the results, and which is the most important at this point. They just hope that it will not come to a day where the result will mirror the kind of performance that the Super Eagles put in into the particular game. So congratulations. They need just one more point against Cape Verde on Tuesday in Lagos, and hopefully they get it sorted and advance to the final round.
Nigeria leads Group C with 12 points, while Cape Verde is second with 10 points. What's your take on the Nigeria-Cape Verde game scheduled for Tuesday?
The final game against Cape Verde in Lagos is definitely going to be a very difficult one. You know, although Nigeria defeated the Cape Verdeans in their reverse fixture played in Mindelo, incidentally, Nigeria had about 9 first-team players unavailable for that game, but the second-string side really punched above their weights and delivered a good win for the Super Eagles. Now, the first team are back home in Lagos. The last time Nigeria played at home in Lagos, it was a home loss to the Central African Republic, who were beaten by Cape Verde on Saturday. So it's going to be a difficult game. The Cape Verdeans need an outright win to advance to the next stage. Nigeria need just a draw. It could be a very delicate position to be in for the Super Eagles, because they know that they do not necessarily have to win. But that can be dicey, because if, for instance, the game stays goalless or 1-1 in around 80-something minutes and the Cape Verdeans get a shock goal, you know what that means. So it's going to be a very dicey game, going to be difficult for the Super Eagles, especially considering the fact that they lost their last home game. The fans are not happy about that. They will be under pressure as well, not to disappoint the fans one more time. But I do sincerely hope as a Nigerian that they get the business done. Just one point and they'll be through. But they have to go for the maximum points. They do not have to go for a point. They have to go for the maximum points. And if they go for it, hopefully they get it.
Some big teams in Africa have qualified for the World Cup playoffs. Are you surprised at this development?
There are no surprises at all, because this is the World Cup you're talking about. Some of the big guns in Africa have missed the World Cup maybe once or twice in the last 3 editions, so they really want to get it right this time around. You know, teams like Mali have never been to the World Cup final. You know, Cameroon were not there last time around. So these teams really want to get it. Everyone wants to play at the World Cup. So that's why everyone is really fighting tooth and nail to get their teams qualified for the Mundial. So I'm not surprised that some of the big girls in Africa, like Mali, like I mentioned, like Algeria, moving towards getting to the final round of qualifying. And in the end, if you boost off some of the best talents, not only in Africa, but in the world, you want to make it count for your national team. Hopefully the Super Eagles will join them on Tuesday. And then from there, we will look ahead to the Africa Cup of Nations in January, after which we go back to the final round of qualification for the World Cup in Qatar.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African athletics, Kenya's world record holder and 2-time Olympic marathon champion Eliud Kipchoge is one of the nominees for the 2021 Male World Athlete of the Year Award. The 37-year-old Kipchoge has won the award twice previously, in 2018 and 2019. World Athletics will announce this year's winner on December 1st. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2021, VOA's Gwen Ooten looks back on Kipchoge winning his second consecutive Olympic gold medal in Japan.
In 2016, Kenyan Eliud Kipchoge won gold at the Rio Games. In 2019, he entered the history books as the only athlete to run a marathon in under 2 hours, and he became a two-time gold medalist in Tokyo. Kipchoge clocked a time of 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 38 seconds, and now holds two of the top five fastest times in Olympic marathon history. And afterwards, Kipchoge called winning a second consecutive Olympic marathon the achievement of a lifetime.
You can only chase one rabbit. If you chase two, then you cannot get all of them. For the last 5 months, I've been concentrating on the Tokyo Olympic Games, not 25 months. For the last 2 years, I've been concentrating on Tokyo Olympic Games 2020. So I don't want to plan another thing when there is a big job ahead of me. That's why I respect the values of preparation and planning. That what was in my bucket list was Tokyo 2020. But for now, I want to enjoy winning here in Tokyo.
Prior to October 2020, Kipchoge had won 10 straight races until his winning streak came to an end at the London Marathon last year. That defeat cast doubts on whether he could defend his Olympic title in Tokyo. But this past April, all doubts vanished with his victory in the Netherlands in the lead up to the Games. And Kipchoge says his long journey back to the top is a testament to the endurance and strength of the human spirit.
When I was alone, then I was not really confident that I'd still win, but I tried to push on. That I got a peace in my mind to enable me to push more because I was alone, and that's what made me go and maintain the pace. So I tried just to push, and I see some people still there. I tried again, and I just got some few meters, and The distance starts to increase a little bit, and that's where I maintained.
Kipchoge is now only the third man to win consecutive Olympic marathon titles, and he's arguably the greatest marathon runner and one of the greatest athletes in Olympics history. World Athletics President Sebastian Coe called Kipchoge a hero, not only to the people of Kenya, but to the entire world.
Kipchoge is a hero. He's a hero to millions and millions of people. And it goes way, way beyond athletics now. You've only got to see the emotional appeal that he has. And I've seen this close at hand when he's been, you know, in running communities and way, way beyond running communities. You know, the 2 hour barrier was a massive moment in our sport. Okay, it wasn't in a competitive race, but it was still one of those big moments. And I'm delighted actually that he has probably got towards the end of his career with another Olympic title under his belt. I think he thoroughly deserves it.
Kipchoge has not said whether or not he will race again at the Paris Games in 2024, but says he wants to be remembered as someone who brought change and inspiration to the sport.
I want to actually be remembered that I changed this world and make running a lifestyle. I'm really advocating for all the families in this world to make running their lifestyles. And I trust it's the only way to come together. It's the only way to enjoy life. That's why I want to be remembered as the one who brought change and inspire the next generation, the whole youth of 3 billion people.
Following his gold medal performance in Tokyo, Kipchoge posted a Twitter message that said simply, "No human is limited." And that's all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny's Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Africa's fastest man, Ferdinand Omanyala, will continue his chat with Prince Nesta on Tuesday's Sunny Side of Sports. The Kenyan sprinter earned his title of Africa's fastest man by clocking 9.77 seconds for 100 meters at the Kipkano Classic meet in Nairobi on September 18th.
I'm Heidi Adams. Join me on the next Straight Talk Africa as we look at the complex political situation and growing humanitarian disaster in Ethiopia, where civil war has displaced many residents in the country's northern Tigray region. VOA's Heather Murdoch takes us inside refugee camps in neighboring Sudan in the documentary Terror in Tigray. That's on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Heidi. In American-style football, the Washington football team upset the reigning Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. The AP's Craig Heist reports.
Taylor Heinicke threw for 256 yards and a 20-yard touchdown pass to DeAndre Carter as the Washington football team upset the Buccaneers 29-19. Washington intercepted Tom Brady twice in the first quarter, but he did manage to throw two touchdown passes. His second one to Mike Evans brought the Bucs to within 23-19 early in the fourth quarter. Heinicke then led Washington on a 19-play, 80-yard drive in 10 minutes and 26 seconds for the final touchdown.
For our offense to have the ball there, 10 minutes left, up by four, and to go 19 plays and go down there and end it like that, it's huge for us, especially with how it's been going the last 4 weeks.
Antonio Gibson scored on a pair of one-yard touchdown runs. Craig Heist, Landover, Maryland.
Thanks, Craig. The Washington football team now has a record of 3 wins and 6 losses. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have 6 victories and 3 defeats. 3 National Football League teams, the Tennessee Titans, Arizona Cardinals, and Green Bay Packers, share the league's best record after weekend play. Tennessee, Arizona, and Green Bay all have 8 wins and 2 losses. On Sunday, 2 star quarterbacks returned to action after being sidelined. The AP's Mark Daniels reports from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
2 quarterbacks returned to Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers from COVID, Russell Wilson from a broken finger. Neither one was sharp, counting for 3 end zone interceptions, but Rodgers had A.J. Dillon late and a defense all night as Green Bay shut out Seattle 17-0. Dillon with 2 fourth-quarter rushing touchdowns, and Green Bay's defense handed Wilson his first shutout since he became a starter in Seattle. As for Rodgers, he came out of the COVID protocol on Saturday, was just grateful to be taking snaps again.
A lot of emotions for sure. Good to be back with the guys. Good to be back at home. Most emotions from the whole night was probably walking off the field after the game. Definitely got me a little misty.
Seattle slips to 3-6 while the Packers move back atop the NFC playoff picture at 8-2. Mark Daniels, Green Bay.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. In National Basketball Association action Sunday, the Los Angeles Lakers defeated the visiting San Antonio Spurs 114-106. The Lakers once again played without superstar LeBron James, who has been sidelined since November 4th with an abdominal strain. The AP's Dave Ferry reports the Lakers got a big game from another all-star big man.
Anthony Davis provided 34 points and 15 rebounds as the Lakers beat the Spurs 114-106.
I just wanted to come back and just try to dominate the game. Do what I can to get the team going.
Davis scored 19 in the first quarter on 8 of 10 shooting and had 27 points by halftime. Russell Westbrook finished with 14 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists. Malik Monk had 16 points for the Lakers. The Spurs pulled within 105-103 with 2:41 remaining on a three-pointer by Doug McDermott. But the Lakers followed with a 7-0 run to take control. DeJounte Murray had a triple-double for the Spurs with 22 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Spurs head coach Greg Popovich said his team showed a lot of fighting spirit in the loss.
We never gave in. We went down 11 several times. I don't know how many times. But they keep playing. They're getting better. And you just got to keep their energy up and keep their belief up that worm will turn as long as we continue to execute better and better.
Greg Popovich took over as head coach of the San Antonio Spurs in 1996. He's the longest tenured active coach in both the NBA and all of the major sports leagues here in the USA. The 72-year-old Popovich has guided the Spurs to 5 NBA titles, and he also led Team USA to the gold medal at this year's Tokyo Olympics. Meanwhile, former Spurs point guard Patty Mills signed with the Brooklyn Nets in August, and the Australian guard had a big game on Sunday, scoring 29 points and hitting a career-high 9 three-point shots as the Nets routed the host Oklahoma City Thunder 120-96. Talk to us, Patty.
I think tonight was one of those things where we played to how the defense was playing it, and we were able to get the ball to touch the paint and then kick outs, which led to open shots.
And speaking of open shots, Kevin Durant hit his share of open shots in that game. Durant fired in 33 points for Brooklyn. KD played 8 seasons in Oklahoma City, winning 4 scoring titles and a Most Valuable Player award. And the fans in OKC still have some hard feelings about Durant leaving. He was booed during pregame warmups and whenever he touched the ball early in the game. For his part, Kevin Durant was diplomatic after the victory by Brooklyn. KD said, and I quote, "The people here and the organization really guided me as a young player. That set the foundation for where I am today. There are a lot of great memories coming back, seeing a lot of people. It's good to see folks here and play in front of the crowd. I had a good time."
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 0905 and 2005 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. Returning to the African football beat, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to former Cameroonian star Patrick Mboma. The 2000 African Footballer of the Year is celebrating his 51st birthday on this Monday. Patrick was born in Douala, Cameroon. During his professional football career, Patrick played for clubs in France, Japan, Italy, England, and Libya. Patrick Mboma also made 57 international appearances for the indomitable Lions of Cameroon and scored 33 goals. Three of Patrick's biggest international honors: an Olympic gold medal at the 2000 Sydney Games with Cameroon, and Nations Cup titles with Cameroon, in 2000 and 2002. Happy 51st birthday, Patrick Mboma. And that wraps up the November 15th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.